What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Happy Monday to you all. I hope you're having a good start to the week. I'm literally just back from New York Climate Week. I had a very intense meeting out in New York last week. Lots of meetings, you know, walking around the streets with Donald Trump and his convoy, you know, blocking up roads left, right and center. Some of you may have seen some of the speeches that happened at the UN General Assembly, which is where I was at most of the time last week. So there's some really, really interesting stuff going on. I'm not going to bore you with it because I'm sure many of you will have seen the news last week. But what I can say is this, is that I think I had more productive meetings this time than ever before, where people were actually willing to admit that unless we can start to begin to really protect nature by, you know, giving it a value, it's called natural capital, but by giving it a value so that people value nature in the same economic way that they value, I don't know, fossil fuels or, you know, the money economy and money systems, things like that. So that was really, really encouraging. Lots and lots of people really committed to protecting nature, putting a value on her so that, you know, a tree is worth more growing than it is if you cut it down. Simple stuff. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that we need to be working on in order for people to really, truly, not us, but the businesses to really, truly understand the value of nature. When you think about it, every single business on this planet, every single one, whether you're making cars, whether you're a service industry, you know, obviously energy, you know, the list goes on and on, making, you know, anything, furniture, tables, houses, laptops, you know, the whole thing. Every single material comes from the earth. And yet we have taken, and not given back. And now the earth is struggling because we've taken so much and we're not giving back. So if that can be a philosophy in your life, how do you tread lightly on the earth? And how do you take, because we all need to eat, we all need to drink water, we all need clothes, we all need, but could you maybe slim down some of your purchasing habits and, you know, maybe even in some ways give back to nature? Could you plant a tree, or could you plant some seeds, or could you offer some money to an organization that's planting or protecting nature? So there's some of the things I'd love you to consider. That was certainly my take home from New York Climate Week last week. We also had it's been a busy month. We also had a magazine out this month. It was our Organic September magazine for My Green Pod. Any of you that care about the health of the planet and your health and sustainability and the climate crisis, etc., do go to mygreenpod.com, check out our latest magazine. There was an article I wanted to flag today because I just thought it was quite light and good fun. With it being Organic September, and we're 29th today, so we've only got a couple more days left. We have two chefs, Henry Firth and Ian Theesby, who are from Bosch, exclamation mark, Bosch, which is B-O-S-H, exclamation mark. They've actually shared two plant-based recipes that support simple organic switches. So just let me read this out to you. And if you want to go and check out the website, you can go to the site. The title is Organic Made Easy. So you can go and see the recipes. But just let me tell you about this. Now, at My Green Pod, we've always believed that what's good for the planet tends to be good for us. So, you know, which is never clearer than when it comes to organic food, right? Organic is, you know, natural, no pesticides, no nasties in the soil. That then creates, it grows something with that naturally without any enhancements from the farming industry. So choosing organic means saying yes to fewer pesticides and chemicals in our soil, waterways, and bodies. It also means healthier ecosystems where bees and butterflies and other vital pollinators can thrive. So buying organic means we're supporting farmers who work in harmony with nature, growing produce that's, packed with nutrients and full of vibrant flavor. So we're both parents now, and it's talking about, me and Katie. So the quality of the food we feed our families matters more than ever. But the Bosch guys, I think, are also parents. So of course, this is article about them. Choosing organic where we can gives us peace of mind. We know we're reducing our exposure to pesticide residues while at the same time helping to protect wildlife for the next generation. That's what this is all about, right? If you are parents or children in the world, of course, we want to leave a thriving planet for them, as we move into whatever comes next after this life. So the guys say, of course, we're realistic. Organic isn't always the easiest or cheapest option, but even swapping out a few everyday staples like picking up organic carrots or apples can make a meaningful difference over time. This month's recipes put veg front and center. Now, these are the recipes. There's a crispy tofu salad that's light yet satisfying, plus a smashed potato and cucumber dish with a zingy sesame mayo. Now, remember, these are all plant-based, and it says they're proof that eating organic seasonal produce is one of the best choices we can make for ourselves and the planet. And then the article goes on to give you the actual ingredients, the method, basically the recipes. So if you want to go and check out two amazing recipes by the Bosch guys, who are, probably the leading two chefs in the plant-based space, go and check out the Asian smashed potato and cucumber salad with sesame mayo, and what's the other one? Crispy tofu rip salad. Ooh, it's making me hungry now. So do go and check those out. I'm going to nicely segue into today's guest. Today's guest is somebody that, I had the privilege of meeting at an event in Portugal last year. We really clicked. I could just tell that she had such a vibrancy and passion, and was really committed to her purpose, and I'm going to tell you about that now. But today's guest is really an ambassador for, or a champion for somebody that has been working in a certain way, in a perhaps a more corporate way. I mean, she's not from a corporate background actually, but working in a sector or in an industry, and then just decided that, you know what? I want to live in a completely different way with my family. Just do something radically different. And she did. And she took a great big, huge step, went away, bought this old, kind of ruined, not quite ruined, but, old village in Portugal, and decided to develop it into something amazing. So welcome to the show, Nadia Dunkier. I hope I pronounced your surname correctly. I realize that I haven't said that much. Nadia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jarvis. Thank you for this lovely introduction. And you did not pronounce my last name right, but that's okay. You're
Go on,
completely.
how do we do it? Tell me.
It's the most like impossible to pronounce letter combination for English speaking people, but it's Duinker.
Danke. There we go. Thank
Oh,
you. Thank
quite
you.
well. Well then.
Well, we don't have to say it again. So now I've said it correctly. That's a Nadia, thanks for joining us. You are in Portugal. You are at your new resort, the one that I just mentioned. It's called Freedomville. We've actually written about Freedomville in the latest My Green Pod magazine, so you can actually check out more about it. We've been, it's amazing. It's a really beautiful place, but we're going to get into that. But Nadia, let's just start with a little bit of background on you, because you've had an extraordinary, considering you're still young, you've had an extraordinary life. You've done some amazing things. It all started in Amsterdam. But just tell us a little bit about your background before we go into your current situation.
Yeah, well, I was born in Hong Kong in 1986, But I grew up most of my life in the south of Holland. After I finished my studies, I went traveling for a year, and then I moved to Amsterdam, the big city. And quite early, I think I just turned 22, I started to work for myself. I met my husband, and he had just gotten into a new restaurant business. It was called Canvas op de Zevende, on the seventh floor, a rooftop bar, restaurant, and place for expositions. So we started running that together. So we've basically been working in the hospitality industry in Amsterdam for about 13, 14 years. Mainly like creating new like hotspots in places that were sort of like in a blind spot of the city. So we started with like temporary projects, like having favorable rental agreements and then making something out of nothing, or well, something with potential, but with like not so much around yet. So we've built a couple of businesses like that. So Canvas was one. It was supposed to be a temporary project, and then an investor came and bought the building and decided he wanted to continue. He liked our philosophy, and we became partners and created the Volks Hotel in that building. It was like a creative concept hotel. We were responsible for the F&B outlets, three different ones, a club in the basement called Doka, where we did performances. It was like a, performance bar, basically, a lobby bar on the ground floor, and then Canvas in renovated form came back. We did Amsterdam Roost, which was a city beach with a bar and a big warehouse where we did lots of different events on an old industrial area. So we had a lot of fun over there, gained a lot of experience in many different things. Especially the event part was big part of the concept that we were doing there. I had a clothing shop in sustainable fashion in Amsterdam. So we did lots of different things.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, you've had, to start to become an entrepreneur at 22 is, I mean, firstly, an extraordinary thing in itself. And then you've gone on and, just gone from strength to strength with your, you and your husband's vision. I mean, it's amazing. Just tell me a little bit about the transition. So you were doing all this stuff, really successful businesses, and you must have been happy, and then what happened? What
Yeah, then what happened?
yeah.
Well, COVID happened. Remember
Okay.
that?
The pandemic arrived. 20,
Oh, of course.
2020, March 2020, the pandemic arrived.
2020. Yeah, that turned everyone's life upside down. But yeah, ours as well. In particular, obviously, the hospitality industry was like hit like really hard. So we had to shut down our businesses, and well, the policy and the whole narrative around the pandemic was quite questionable to me. So, I started to investigate things and was really upset about the whole situation and the measures that were taken, the freedom that was taken away. So, I became very activistic in that period, speaking on rallies and just putting my voice out there as much as I could, trying to get the entrepreneurs from the hospitality industry together to make a stance against like the way our entrepreneurship and freedom was taken from us as opposed to other industries, for example. I invested a lot of time and energy in trying to create awareness around everything that was happening.
The good thing about this show, Nadia, it's an alternative, kind of, it's health and well-being, but we're very open to what we know is actually the right way to do things. But you might want to call it alternative to the mainstream. So, do tell us a little bit about what you were championing around the time of COVID. Don't be afraid to say, because our listeners will be very much on your side when it comes to this stuff.
I mean, obviously, I was very upset with the whole the campaign around the vaccinations, the safety of the vaccination. So I dived really deeply into that, and I just tried to create awareness around the fact that these were like experiments that were being imposed upon us. I started a foundation as well to create awareness around the health, mental health impact, and health impact that was, especially for our children in schools. You know, they were excluded from schools. They had to take all these tests, all of that kind of stuff. So we started, me and two other activist friends of mine, we started this group called Mutter Heart, which basically means mother heart. We lined up a whole lot of big names, like celebrities from the Netherlands, to back up our campaign and to just try to have people look more critically at the situation, of taking these vaccinations, but also like complying to the mandates that were going around, because for me it just didn't make any sense. And yeah, if you do a little bit of research, it quite clearly became obvious that there was a different agenda behind this whole pandemic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's what I did. I think if the readers
Amazing. Amazing.
themselves, I think they also understand where I'm coming from without having to go into too much detail. So I
Yeah.
just try to encourage people to speak up, and I try to inform people and, like, yeah, do my research and translate it in understandable language using my social media channels. Try to make a change,
Yeah.
but the change didn't really come. So for me, it was a very difficult situation, because in between the lockdowns, we were able to open our businesses, obviously, but then we had the mask mandates, and we had to go. Actually, like, the hospitality industry was used as an extension of like this control policy from the government, right? We needed to check on vaccine. Well, it was not yet passports, but basically either if people were tested or had a vaccine. And yeah, I mean, I just couldn't do it. I so disagreed with this whole situation, the discrimination that was just being normalized in this, yeah, for me, outrageous policy. I couldn't comply. So I got myself into problems with authorities, and yeah, it took me
You
still
were
a
a
while.
rebel, but a good
I tried
one.
to rebel, you know.
Yeah.
I did, but it's not an easy position to be in, because you make yourself very vulnerable, you make yourself visible, and the people that
Yeah.
are loudest, they make an example out of you too. So at the time, I only had a small cafe open because our big project, Amsterdam Roost, was under big renovation, and that was going to be like my life project, opening around that time or a year later maybe. So it took me about a year, even with all the knowledge I had, to like come to terms with the fact that in this new normal, my dreams just didn't look the same way, and I didn't feel the confidence anymore to pursue these dreams, because I didn't know what to expect. And I knew
Yeah.
if this would continue or if something like this would happen again, I would not be able to comply with those rules, and I would probably like sign my own bankruptcy by being a rebel and trying to go against the rules, against the narrative, against the mainstream, and not being quiet about it either. So yeah, that was really, and I hit really deep when that realization came, because that meant to me like, wow, that means actually I have to say goodbye to the whole foundation that I built in the city that I love. I have to say goodbye to the businesses that I pictured my children working in, you know, in the future. So yeah, that was basically the start of this whole transition and transformation of my life. It was in May 2021 when I made that decision that we really needed to just sell the businesses without having a clear plan in place, but just knowing, feeling this deeper knowing that we needed to say no to this. Yeah, in order to
Amazing.
yes to something that did feel aligned at the time. Yeah, and I did not
Yeah.
yet know what that was, so that was quite a big
Well,
jump.
let's hold it there because we're going to go to a commercial break. But I think this is riveting because, thank you for opening that out. I think many people can listen and relate to that time, particularly with our listeners who are going to definitely be, less mainstream and a bit more kind of, conscious about, other stuff that's going on in the world that we might not necessarily like or sign up for or, et cetera. So this is fascinating. What I really want to do is get into, that awakening that happened for you and then what came next. So don't go away, everybody that's listening. We're going to be back with Nadia. She's going to tell us about what she did after that awakening through the pandemic and the time of COVID. So see you back here in just a few minutes.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Nadia Danka. I think I pronounced that correctly this time. She's actually the co-founder. Her and her husband set up Freedomville with this is amazing resort, community space, you know, really gorgeous environment in Portugal, which we visited. Nadia was just telling us about really her wake-up call from, you know, running businesses in Amsterdam. The pandemic arrived. She really did not like, you know, the way this information was being put out into the world and realized there was a, you know, another agenda behind the pandemic, which I think many of us will have now seen is fact and proven. Nadia had a wake up call. So, Nadia, you've told us a bit about kind of what brought you to this moment. But tell us the next bit. Like, you know, clearly you championed for a cause because it didn't feel right to you. So you really stepped up, you and your friends, by the sounds of things, and got loads of people engaged. I know, you know, you were making a lot of noise on the circuit, which is actually quite a tricky space to be in. So that put you into a situation where you started to reevaluate your life, your business, etc. So just bring me up to speed from that point.
Yeah, I mean, after a year of like working as an activist, like most of my time and diving into so much information and trying to activate people, I just felt I was like losing energy. It was not feeding me with energy. I was in a really also in a state of fear. You know, it doesn't really matter on which side of the spectrum and or the narrative you're on. But if as long as you're fighting, I could feel it wasn't feeding me with energy. So I was feeling drained more and more. And I also wasn't feeling empowered because I was just scared of losing everything. But at the same time, I had the feeling that I was stuck and I couldn't do anything. I was just waiting for the world to change, policies to change, to be able to open up my businesses again. So when I made that decision, okay, I got to sell, that was actually a really empowering moment. It was like super scary, but also empowering because at that point, I just took back control of my own life again. But it didn't go without any emotion. So I think I cried like for 4 days straight, just grieving, you know, the idea that I was going to leave behind everything that I had built up and I worked towards and that gave me so much sense of security. And then I called my friend who had bought some real estate, a piece of land in Portugal in 2019. And I was like, hey, Zara, can you just please send me over some links of some real estate like sites for Portugal so I can just get my mind on something positive. I need to start dreaming again because I was just like grieving the old. So without a clear plan, I just for fun to get a new perspective, started looking online. And then within 10 minutes, I found this ad with the title Abandoned Village in Central Portugal, something like that. And yeah, I was almost sold at the title.
that got you. You just knew then and then. Yeah,
it's really like a project to my heart. You know,
I
love projects with a lot of potential, but also a lot of work to do. So you can still shape it into your own thing. And somehow been dreaming about this like my whole life, ever since I went traveling when I was 18, 19. I already had this seed planted for a future that would look something like what I'm doing now. So that's quite incredible, actually.
Yeah.
So that caught me right away. I sent it in the family apps like, look, guys, what I found. And everybody was really enthusiastic about it. And 3 days later, I was in the plane with my father. My husband had to stay at home because the kids were in school. And I had two or three other meetings to visit other plots. And this was the first one. And yeah, we walked around, we fell in love, and we signed the same afternoon. I canceled the other viewings. And yeah, that was the beginning of a new adventure, and not really knowing how that would unfold, how quickly we would move. I mean, it all went so quickly, you know? So
yeah. Just tell us about that experience. So you rocked up at this place, just, you know, this abandoned village. Just kind of describe it to us. What did you see? What did you feel when you were there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd seen the pictures, obviously, already. I came up this abandoned road with a little bit, sort of a lake in the beginning that I fell in love with, like, the moment I drove up. And now it's something I completely neglect. So it's also fine. Funny, the first time you go to a land, you see things completely different than eventually, you know, the potential or how you would use it. But then we drove down this little village street with only ruins, like all the roofs were collapsed. It had 14 hectares of land surrounding it, but obviously we didn't get to see that all during that first visit. So yeah, I mean, we just wandered around this little ghost town. And I remember
what were the houses like? Like, you know, what was
it's all made in stone? So we have the schist here. It's like you call that lay stone in English. I'm not sure actually. Maybe you know what kind of lay stone.
Yeah.
So all the walls were still there. In the original structures, the roofs had collapsed. There had been a fire 10 or 15 years before I came here for the first time. I couldn't even get into the houses to get an idea of the space because it was all overgrown with brambles. So I just had to sort of picture what it would look like on the inside, how spacious it would be. I had no idea. And then there was this one house on the other side of the street and had like a super cute back garden with a lot of like a couple of olive trees and then videiras. Sometimes I mess up my language. Grapevines.
I
remember that was the place where I thought, okay, this is it. I just fell in love. I could see ourselves doing our first little village warming party there with some light bulbs, you know, and a generator, and getting together and just feeling the land. And then we walked along the other side, and there was this what now is the taverna. You know what I'm talking about? Completely overgrown. You just had to make your way through like grass that was up until the waist, some roses that were still like hanging around this ruined building, pine trees of 15, 20, 30 year old, like growing out of the houses.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it had so much. I saw the potential right away. Like on my first walk, it's funny looking back now at the videos I took, I was already like on the spot saying, oh, this is going to be that. This could be this and this could be that. And it actually turned out like that as well. So
amazing.
I quite quickly.
So you were kind of dreaming it into manifest literally as you were walking around.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's incredible. I love it. Let's just take a moment there. I always ask my guests to give me a couple of songs that which mean a lot to you, which are maybe soundtracks to your life. You've given us, you know, two great songs. Let's play your first song. Just tell us what the song is and who it's by, and then once we played it, you can tell me why you chose it.
All right. We're going to listen to Iron Sky by Paolo Nutini.
Okay, lovely. Here we go. Oh, I love Paolo Nutini. Great.
We are proud individuals living for the city, but the flames couldn't go much higher. We find God and religion to paint us with salvation, but no one, no, nobody can give you the power that the right over love, no. Over fear, into freedom. All that life left dripping down the wall of a dream that cannot breathe in its harsh reality. Mass confusion. Spoon-fed to the blind, serve now to define a cold society from which we'll rise. No. You just got to hold on. You just got to hold on.
Those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of...
Wow, such a powerful record. It's so nice to hear that song again. I haven't heard that for a while. Tell me, why did you choose that record, Nadia?
Yeah, because for me, it's very symbolic for the change I made, you know, like living in the city that was feeling on fire at the moment and like coming from this activistic energy that was actually based on fear also, and then understanding that this is also not the way forward, to fight against something that I need to find the strength within to live the life I want, instead of putting all my focus on external factors that are prohibiting my freedom, prohibiting my happiness. And that's what I really hear in this song also, that it's, yeah, we have to turn inside and find the power inside of us to rise and to have the courage also to change our lives in a way that benefits us, you know, instead of waiting for the world to change. So yeah, that's why I chose this song, because I think it's one of the most important things that we can do as human beings, is overcoming fear and stepping into love, stepping into trust, and into our own power, because we all have the power to create and we all have the power to change at least the shape of our own lives. Maybe not the shape, not the course of the world, but we can change our own lives.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for saying that. And you're absolutely right. Funnily enough, this this concert we just did in Times Square for UN Peace Day on Saturday last week in New York, yeah, the whole title was about peace starts within. And actually everything starts within, right? If you can overcome your fears. So thank you for reminding us of that. It's beautiful. Hey, I wanted to read out your vision for Freedomville, because it's really lovely. And then you can tell me, you know, how it's all coming together. So it got here. It says, the world is our home. The sky is the limit. Our vision is to revive the village of Mahaldil. Is that how you say it? Malhadil. Mahadil, to create a piece of paradise called Freedomville, an environment where people can live free. Our family permanent, our guests temporarily, for holidays, events or special retreats. A place where we live independent of institutions and supported by the community. A place where we can explore ourselves and all interconnectivity, break through programs and patterns that create imaginary boundaries. We want to create a space where nature thrives and people smile, love it, where life comes in first and not in second place. So hearing that back, because I bet you don't look at your own website very often, when that vision, you know, that you've got, are you smashing it? Are you feel like you're delivering?
Yeah, I guess we're delivering. Yeah, it's a process, huh? I mean, vision is not born overnight. It's an ongoing process, and it's growing organically into existence. But yeah, definitely, I wrote that. That's right. Like before we opened, and like 3.5 years ago, I think. Haven't revised it. I don't think I need to, because I still stand by it very much. And yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing is I had this vision, and when I came here first, I thought like if I would just step my foot on the ground, I would feel free, you know, because it felt like, you know, such a big change and everything felt so prohibiting back home during that time. But what I didn't realize was that you don't just step into freedom. You don't just step into a new life feeling a different person, you know. You take that old person into a new life and you still have to deal with you. But it was a big initiation process into myself, like a transformation process for myself as well. So it seems like everything that I want to offer here for people, like a healing home for the open heart, I called it somewhere else as well, and a place where people can go through their own process of transformation, that I'm getting these life lessons first. Like I have to walk through all these paths before I can preach it or offer it to people.
Yeah, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. Yeah, right, definitely. That Gandhian statement.
Speaking these things out into existence also means that you have to undergo it, you know. So it's been a very challenging process too, you know. It hasn't only been like roses and butterflies making these life changes, but it's been it's been beautiful, a beautiful process also. It has brought me so much closer to myself than I'd ever imagined. And I never figured that this would be the consequence of making that life-changing decision.
Amazing. And I want to get into some of those, you know, some of the challenges that you've had. You know, talk us through about, you know, living with family, like all in one space, one kind of shared community space. And you can tell me, you know, about the kind of guests that come and, you know, what their experience we've been. So we can talk about, you know, certainly our journey. And also I want to talk about, you know, you have this amazing vision of, you know, having retreats there, and you built, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful, sacred space. You've really served it well. So I want to talk about that, your vision for, you know, the retreats. And if anybody's listening, and I think there'll be a lot of people listening that would be very interested in the space as a retreat space. So we're going to come back to all of that shortly, but let's just go to the second commercial break in the show, and do not go away. We'll be back with Nadia. We're going to find out some of those challenges, some of those difficulties in buying a, you know, an old village and trying to turn it into something amazing. And I'll tell you what, they have, but I bet it wasn't easy. We'll be back here shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. Let's get straight into it, Nadia. You know, you've taken on this kind of, you know, old village, ruined village, you know, was it 25, 40 years? Or so? How long was it that nobody had lived in
there?
Yeah,
it was abandoned for over 40 years.
40 years. So there was trees coming out, the, you know, buildings and all kinds of stuff. So tell us, because now it's amazing. You know, my family and I, we went earlier this year, and honestly, we had such a gorgeous time. My nine-year-old still says it's the most favorite place for her in the world. And I tell you what, we have to agree that it is one of our very special places. I mean, partly because where it is, where it's situated, but more importantly, about what you've done in terms of creating this real community-loving family feel. But just tell us, before we go into the good stuff, just tell us about some of the challenges. Because I bet there's been some highlights in those challenges.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, of course, there's so many challenges. Everybody views it as a utopian way of living, to live in community. But it's actually really challenging because no one taught us how to do that. And one of the most challenging things is like real, open, transparent like communication, especially in family dynamics. You know, we all know how challenging that can be. And even though you have a lot of space, 14 hectares seems like a lot of space, but energetically, when you're away from so much distractions and noise from the city, you feel everything much stronger. So you feel each other's energy all the time.
Yeah. So you're relying on each other really for that community, for that support, because you can't just bob off down to the shops or go for a drink or, you know, whatever. So you're very much...
You hear everything and you see everything.
Yeah.
And you feel too.
Yeah.
For me, that was super overwhelming in the beginning, like thinking, oh my God, I'm trying to build a community here. I'm trying to invite people into my place, but I still haven't gotten to a point where I feel I can co-live harmoniously with the closest people around me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where we start to create a healthy culture that a community can thrive on. And I just saw all these patterns emerge. I just recognized these patterns that have been there forever, like within my own family with my husband and the children, but also my mother and my sister was coming by a lot and my father was involved. So all these interrelational like dynamics and patterns, they started to emerge. And I just felt for the first time in my life, we need to solve this because we kind of just close the door and go on with our lives because we're actually co-living here and we are setting the culture and the atmosphere that other people are also going to live in temporarily or for a longer period of time. So I mean, that's an ongoing process, but it's very interesting. And I think we've all grown a lot just from needing to face that instead of being able to just ignore it and you know, separate and just bury it under the carpet that I think a lot of people do. It's challenging, it's confronting, but it's also the only way to actually resolve things. So that's something we're still working through. Also working with volunteers can be very challenging, obviously, as well. It's a completely different dynamic from paying people to do something for you.
Yeah.
Based on a totally different exchange. People want to be heard more, validated. They want to contribute. They want to feel belonging. So that's also was also a big learning experience for me, as opposed to simply just paying the paycheck every month.
Yeah.
But also very, very interesting. So these are some of the challenging aspects of community life. And I think the main thing is like learning communication. I think if we could like give the educational system one tip that they should focus on is like teach our kids to communicate openly without fear of being themselves, of expressing themselves, and without putting judgment on each other, you know, because that's the only way you create a safe environment in which people can be themselves and express themselves freely and actually resolve all these social issues that arise in any community that is, you know, becomes a society. So that's the difference of all. So it was still challenging. Learning experience for the rest of our life, to be honest.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I think, you know, it's really, I think you've got this amazing environment and you want to create, this kind of utopian scenario. But as you say, there are certain things that get in the way, right? And so thank you for sharing that. And I think it's really, really eye-opening and heart-opening for everybody that's listening. Tell us some of the amazing parts of it. So, you talked about challenges. What are the qualities that you go, yes, this is exactly what I wanted to be experiencing?
Oh, well, there's been so many. First of all, starting from scratch really gives you like small wins, but feel like huge wins, all throughout the whole process. We went all back to bare basics, living in a yurt with four children, my mom in a caravan, no running water, no proper electricity, no fridge. So, flushing your toilet for the first time, taking a hot shower for the first time, all these steps, that was a big win. And also actually recognizing that you can live with the bare basics as well. Yeah. Was also super empowering for me.
Yeah. Surprising how little we need, isn't it? When we're kind of either forced into the situation or choose.
Yeah.
To,
and you adjust so quickly both ways,
Yeah.
I noticed I could go really, really easy back to basic, but also I got used to getting the luxuries back really fast.
Yeah.
But I mean, this whole process is one big process of creation. And I think that's one of the things that just, makes my heart sing, because you're creating and you see things that were just in your mind, coming into existence. And that just gives so much fulfillment to see that happening. And obviously bringing people together, connecting with the locals. Since we've been operational now, we've been doing lots of different events. Bringing the local community together, see all the talent that is in this area and feed those connections with community dinners, hearing all the different dreams, visions, skills of people. And all these little things really make it amazing. And that dreaming things into reality, I think that's one of the most powerful things that we can do. And here I really feel the freedom to do that. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And also for the fact that there's not so much interference from government, because that's how I used to create in Amsterdam. That was one of the things also that made me want to leave the city, because it's so full, it's not even appreciated, evaluated anymore, the ideas or the creativity that you have to bring, because there's just an overkill. And if you go to a place where people are just, leaving, it's drying out, young people are leaving, you can feel the appreciation of the local people, you can even feel the appreciation of the local governments, a real support, this network of people that are actually actively collaborating instead of competing, because we have a similar type of vision of how we want to shape the world we want our children to grow up in.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I feel very strongly, and that's what makes this this project, this lifestyle, very special to me.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about some of the guests' responses. So tell us where you're situated, because you're it's roughly about an hour and a bit from Lisbon, right? But just give us a quick overview. So anybody that's listening that goes, that sounds amazing, I want to find out more, give us a bit more. So
we're located in central Portugal. It's about 2 hours and 20 minutes from Lisbon and 2.5 hours from Porto. So if you would draw a triangle towards the Spanish border, we are quite close to the Spanish border. It's rural area. It's super green, hilly. We have, it's a forestry area where we're situated. We have a few cities close by. There's lots to do. It's far from, not far, it's 2 hours from the beach, but you have lots of river beaches close by. So I think the inland is really idyllic.
Yeah. I mean, Portugal inland is magical. The rivers are fantastic. The area where you are is really beautiful. And just tell us a little bit about the rooms and the decor, because I love what you've done. It's you've really tapped into your kind of old life, which is,
definitely,
old.
I mean, we basically brought our old collection of stuff and memories in 10 shipping containers to Portugal, and all of this stuff with memories finally got a place that where it can breathe, where it has the space to actually shine as it's supposed to be. So we transformed the village into 9 apartments and 5 hotel rooms, and we built 2 tiny houses. and they're all individually styled. So we have themed rooms, and we just made like a nice combination, eclectic combination of our old stuff. We bought some stuff here at secondhand markets, and made a really funky design. So we tried to bring some of that city flavor into the countryside. I think you also see that in our guests that are coming here. There's a lot of people from the city, from Lisbon, from Porto, from Amsterdam, obviously. That really like to, you know, have that escape into nature, reconnect with nature, reconnect with themselves, and just have a breathe, have a pause, away from all the noise and distractions of the city life. And you can really see people just sink into themselves when they're here. So we're basically giving them that experience, and in short term rental, because we've just opened. We just finished our group space only in June, so now we've built a big dome, so we can finally also facilitate retreats and group programs. And that's something we actually really want to focus on, because you see how much healing and how much transformation already takes place just by being in this environment. Connection with nature, feeling the interconnectivity of that all. And our place really it's just perfect to bring groups of people together for all sorts of different activities. So that's what I really want to focus on, finding the right facilitators to create long-term partnerships, really, to make a well-curated and diverse program that's not just typically focused on only wellness retreats. You know, I would like to make it a little bit more creative, out of the box, blend in some different things, art, music. Have people come here to learn specific skills in an intense program for a week. Could be from a boxing clinic for a week into like a frenemy game, for example, game fights, to art weeks where people just retreat in nature and write or paint or...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So I would really like to focus on a diversity of different forms of expression and
ground. Beautiful. And just to be clear to everybody that's listening, you know, the space that Nadia has created, Nadia and family have created, called Freedomville. You know, it's a beautiful place. You can go, you know, as a couple, as a family. You know, there's all kinds of different size rooms and the pool and, you know, all of that stuff. But what you're really saying now is you'd love to have, you know, people that host retreats or people that put on retreats, you know, ranging from arts and crafts to, you know, to spirituality, to yoga, to the whole thing. You'd love to be able to invite those into. And I think, you know what, you've got such a beautiful space for that. And now you've got this dome. So what, just tell me a bit about that. How many, like, what would be the numbers if people out there are listening and thinking, yeah, that could be the perfect spot for us? What would the numbers be?
Yeah, we can host up to 20 to 50 people in the accommodation, depending on how privately people want to stay.
Yeah,
comfortably. So all the apartments are like really well renovated. So it's quite high quality standards.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice.
For weddings or other types of events, we could expand by putting up teepees or bell tents, that sorts of stuff. But like in-house would be 20 to 50 people.
Yeah.
The dome is 113 square meters. It has a 12 meter diameter, so it's quite big. So you could fit easily 30 people on a yoga mat, but 60 people sitting, 90 people standing, if you would like to do some sort of gathering or party. Then we have the taverna also, which is the social meeting spot of the village where we serve our breakfast. It's more of the social place.
Yes.
Also a communal space. We have the river flowing in the winter. That's also super special with the little waterfall. Yeah, we went in together.
Yeah, we did. We did. You showed me your, it's a beautifully sacred space. Yeah,
it's
magical.
Space for sure. Yeah, I love to take my cold water dips there in the winter time. So yeah, so I would say like groups from 20 up to 50 people for sleeping. And if you have like a one-day gathering, a two-day gathering, we could expand with like tents on that a little bit. But I think it's a perfect group size, actually, between 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
And working with groups, what I love about it is that you also really get this community feel, and you can see what happens in a group of people already in a week time. Putting people together in one space like this in nature for a week creates so much connection. With the volunteer groups, I've already seen that happening. So that's also why I really want to work with groups more, because it's just amazing to see how much change happens in a group of people within a short amount of time.
Yeah, amazing. I've been on loads of retreats and all kinds of different places around the world, and I can definitely see that your environment is going to be perfect. We're going to work on something together, aren't we, Nadia? So we've got something
Definitely.
in the
I'm
pipeline
looking
for next
forward.
year. I think as well, anybody out there listening, if you've been inspired by Nadia's story and certainly inspired by Freedomville, you can check out the website. You just go to Freedomville. .pt, .pt, I think, presumably that's a Portugal domain. So it's Freedomville, just exactly as you would say it and spell it, .pt. There's a contact form on the website. So if you want to reach out to Nadia and you're interested in, putting on a retreat, finding out more, I know she's getting some nice bookings coming in for next year. You've been full all summer this year. So it's a magical place. You might need a little holiday coming up in the half-term break. MyGreenPod actually has a very special discount with Nadia and Freedomville. So if you go to mygreenpod.com and just search for Freedomville, we do have an exclusive discount for anybody that wants to go and visit for holidays. This is for retreats. I think it's up to the end of October. So if you move quickly, you'll still be able to get access to that discount. And then anybody that's running yoga retreats, healing retreats, shamanic retreats, arts and crafts, all of that stuff, then go to freedomville.pt. Go to the contact form. Just say you've listened to the show, you want to find out more information, have a look at the website, etc. Nadia will be excited to receive, to receive you at her place because it is magical. We love it. Nadia, you've been an absolute dream to have on the show. I'm going to have you on again soon, so we can talk about some of the retreats that you've had, maybe this time next year. But we're going to play out your last song. I think it's the perfect song to end the show with. So tell us the song you've chosen.
Yeah, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin.
Yay. And I think that sums up exactly who you are, the energy that you are, and the place that you've created. Nadia, thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been a real treat. Enjoy this music, and I'll see you next week. Have a brilliant, brilliant week. Thanks, Nadia.
Thank you so much. See you soon, Jarvis.
See you soon.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.